told you I graduated high school with a 1.8, a technicality. Damn.
That motherfucker said two nines.
The ABV.
That motherfucker said two nines and an eight.
That's 18. I just heard the that two nines first, bro. It's 2.9, bro.
I thought it was a so-so death joke for a second. Like, is he trying to say something like base all stars? Like, he going somewhere with this shit?
Nah, that's the math I did, bro.
Yeah, I was your math.
Hell no.
Math I conjured.
Lord, have mercy. Okay. And that is why that billboard has been where it's been for as long as it has.
1 + 1 = 3.
Because that young motherfucker, 21, is famous. 19 + 2.
Oh, I was like, what the fuck is that? It's a rawhide. Okay. That makes so much sense. I was like, nigga,
right,
wait.
Like, shut that motherfucker up out there.
I thought it was like some shit from Sandman. Like, you finna conjure some shit up?
Right.
You could not live with your own failure. Where did that bring you? Back to me.
I ain't appreciate it.
Oh, shit. What else you got?
And that is why I had to leave him.
What else you got?
I don't know, man.
That's you got Alex Jones, bro. Thanos Jones, bro.
I know you got him.
Nah.
That's perfect. Oh, yeah. Oh.
This little pick-me-up just got you.
Mm-hmm.
It did. Because I was having a shitty time. Well, I requested another one so fast, and now I see what you mean. This is definitely ABV. Fuck it, we here.
I'm really excited for those. Like, I'm excited for them. I'm like, ooh, that's a tall one. Nigga getting bold now, bro. I felt bold as fuck making that bitch this morning, bro.
It was a tall one.
I felt bold as fuck making it, because only four came in a pack.
And you found out why quickly.
It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take three of them, leave y'all with one. That's what you do, you get back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 21.
Nah, bro, okay. See, you ain't never played no video game where you have to do some, you know, community management or what do they call that shit? Supply management or whatever the fuck that shit is. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, man, get back to the community.
Yeah, you have to plant the seeds in order to get seeds back. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I will say, my game that I've been playing, Devikins, the crypto game, there is a community element where you do share. You do share shit. Like, if somebody needs some shit, and I got that shit, I'll be like, here, bro. They'd be like, thank you, Shoulder. I'd be like,
appreciate you, cool. Cool.
I beat up your little goddamn Tamagotchi Pokemans.
Mm-hmm.
Because in September, they're supposed to be rolling out the next phase of it, and it's going to be 1v1.
So is there like a whole economy base around it, or is it just like, oh, you need this? I can give it to you. Because my character already got it, so I can just give it to you.
Both. Certain, what you have to do is you get a little Devikin. It's in an embryo stage, and then you hatch it. You hatch it, put it in a nursery, and you give it these activities to build up its attributes. Those things that you use, you can either buy them or you can share them with people. And they give you like a certain loadout to start with, but it might not work for yours. So you find people in a group. Like, I got my own little clique of Pokemans together. And like, okay, I have this thing, you have this thing, you trade me for that, I get it for that. You build it up, and then you're able to go on these things called void adventures, and the void adventures are what pays you. Like, you put them in there, and it's like a 50 to 100% chance based on the attributes and things of you.
Based on the level of your Pokemons.
Yeah. So you fuck with them, and when you do those void adventures, that's what gives you these things called myth stones.
Okay.
These myth stones then turn into, like, every 6 days, they have a pool. You put them in there. It's 10 million Devikin coins in there. And you put in your myth seeds, and then you get a specific outcome. So, like I said, every 6 days, it pays, like, started out $1, now it's like $2, now it's like
depending on how many milestones you done accrued throughout the week.
Yeah. Okay. Now the cool part about this thing is that you need an NFT to I'm supposed to go that way. Yeah, you need an NFT to start it. But they'll give you a dummy one, which is like a fake one, so you could do the missions and stuff and steal the crew and make your money. But you can't procreate with the dummy one. So you gotta have one.
Right. That's where the microtransaction comes in.
And then like I said, you can buy the stuff to go in the nursery and stuff too. I try to like not spend any of this shit. but when you start procreating them, they have different incubators for different type of levels. Common, uncommon, mythical type shit.
Right.
So you get these incubators and then you start
to the blue to the purple, the gold and all that.
Pretty much. It's brown is common, blue is uncommon, gold is mythical. And then red is mythical. And then you gotta type shit. But the next phase that they just been doing, like they did a beta first and everybody who got to a certain level in beta got a free NFT. And the NFT has its own solo missions, which is pretty cool. And this is phase one that they've rolled out. You can, download it in Android or Apple. And phase two they're rolling out is combat based. So it's 1v1, 2v2, 3v3. They put out their white paper about it, which tells you all about like how they want to do the fighting. And how you earned, buddy, from it. I skipped over it briefly.
What is it? Move list you're going to have when you come into the game. And
You
end up with a fucking slime who's like super low level, but his defense is high as shit. Just like the time I got reincarnated as a slime. And then you come to find out, like, yo, this motherfucker is the best to have. Like, I can't kill you, but you can't kill me either. Unless I use a certain type of move.
Hear the game's 10-minute diss?
Eminem. I have not heard it yet.
It don't matter who disses Eminem. They're going to lose. And the fact that it's the game, I'm sorry that you're in this motherfucker's crosshairs right now.
I was listening to the album. I was listening to it today, like running my errands, and it's a 30-track album. And that track,
how many tracks is it?
It's 30. It's 30 tracks. But I was working my way through the whole thing. I wasn't gonna skip out of order because I just wanted to hit all the way through. And so far, like I can't even remember what track I'm on. I'm probably like a third of the way through. But a third of the way through, I ain't really like, oof, bruh. This nigga can rap, bro. That nigga can rap, bro. Like, this nigga's a top-tier rapper, bro. Like, and he coming, I feel like he want people to know that. You know what I'm saying? And I got nothing but respect. Because this shit sound good. I ain't gonna even lie to you, bro. If you like this last album, this one's starting to give me, it's starting to make me think, like, if I got 20 more tracks to listen to, but shit, I got like 24 more tracks to listen to, bro. I done got through the first 6 songs or something. You know what I'm saying? But I interrupt some people calling me and shit. But, man, shit. So far, so good.
I mean,
that's what I say. So far, so good,
bro. That's early 2000s shit, bro. Like, somebody came out with a double disc, triple disc Gangsta Grill that's like 30 tracks.
Like, yeah, if somebody gave us 30, but think about it, bro. Stank On You was like 24 songs. You know what I'm saying? Them old albums, like back in the late 90s, it was a trend when everybody had like damn near 20.
Because
like,
everybody was taking advantage of the full capacity of the CD.
80 minutes, yeah.
Of the CD.
Yeah, 80 minutes. Everybody taking advantage of this whole hour and 20 minutes. And they gave you an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was before PlayStation, Sony patented the whole what they call that shit, the dual layer with the blue lens on the CD. That was when you knew a Blu-ray, it was like fully 2x, it was like double capacity on both sides of the CD. Cause up until that point, everybody thought and everybody knew like the front of the CD was just a label, there was no data there, it was all on the bottom side. And then when Sony was like, oh no, on the PlayStation 2 we putting game data on the front of the CD and the bottom.
Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts 95 was the first one that I played that if you put it in the CD player, it will play the soundtrack. All you had to do was just put the game in the, and it just played the soundtrack. That was the first time I ever like oh, it's you know what I'm saying? You can get two.
But that was Sony trying to let you know. It's like, hey man, there's a lot more to this, you know, this dual format than what you think there is.
I didn't like that. That wasn't the norm because that right there just.
But see, well, the thing about that is, whether you know it or not, Sega Saturn and Sega CD used that same format beforehand.
They were CDs. They weren't DVDs. That was the biggest thing.
No, it. Remember,
there was something in between. It's like.
No, the anime Monster Rancher.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Remember the game?
They were famous for that.
You could put any disc into your Sega CD or your Sega Saturn if you had Monster Rancher. You could put it in your PlayStation if you had the Monster Rancher game, and it would pull a monster from it. It could be a DVD, it could be a CD, it didn't matter. As long as it was a laser disc of whatever was the small capacity, not laser disc, the big ass fucking cartridge. But yeah. But that shit was crazy, bro. Gaming and ripping.
It was a wild time.
Oh, rip games and that type of.
Well, ripping audio and dual formats. Cause that was exactly what it was. It was dual format. Yeah, but Monster Rancher is what set that shit off. You put that game in, and then you take the game out the console, and then you put a CD in, and then it'll read it, and then it'll give you a random ass monster. You could do that for every CD you had, every DVD you had at the time. You can get a monster from it.
Damn.
That was open source back then. That was. And then, you know, if you knew that random ass kid that was kind of like outside the box back in the day, he was like, oh yeah, I got the PlayStation S, got the chip in it, and I can play the Japanese games. Like.
Yeah.
You were able to open source your PlayStation back in the day.
Yeah.
You put that little chip in it, and you had to turn the PlayStation sideways and leave the top open and all this kind of shit.
And the Xbox. Yeah. I remember my
boy. That was early jailbreaking.
Yeah. Exactly. Had all the games and everything on there.
The thing about Xbox was, Xbox is based on a Windows PC OS.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Microsoft. And even like you're talking about with the PlayStation, like it was like you said, it was always one person that had that.
All right, whoo. Good ocean.
Yep. I can get it, yeah.
Just had the applause, man. All right, so I got a funny story I want to get to, but I guess I need to intro everything. Like, before we get to the story, I just don't know why I'm going to intro it, man, because.
Just do it.
You ready?
Nope.
You came to pod today. You came to pod today. Initiate all your words.
Enunciate.
No, he said initiate.
Initiate all your words.
Initiate all your words. Right.
Words. Words.
Full on words.
All.
Launch words. Sequence initiated.
Oh yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, back with the NPR voice. Nah.
NPR.
Hey,
we came up with NPR. Oh,
you got it ready. Oh, okay, okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another adventure of the Ninja Please Podcast. Now,
yeah, what you got? I heard you got new names.
Nah, I ain't say that. But who knows? Let's go. I'm your host, Starman, aka Starbro. Also known as Fox Blunt, a.k.a. Jean Bunstantine, a.k.a. the White Raven.
Hell no. This motherfucker didn't.
What time is it?
A.k.a. Shadow of the Moonlight Night, a.k.a. Mama Ru Puff and Cheeba. aka 3-Day Weekend.
My fault.
The Duke of Debauchery.
Hey, I like that. I like that.
I'm the greatest ninjas that ever do it. Hey, that's just what we do.
Debauchery. I like that.
Ninjas. Introductions.
Man, ain't got nothing super outlandish like that or nothing. I'm just the Mackie of metal, man. Yeah, the Sorcerer Supreme, the Tanuki.
Hadouken!
You know what I'm saying? The Blue Lantern.
Oh, you get
the captain of the space pirate ship, Arcadia. Dog, you give me all straight Ryu shit. I'm fucking niggas up out here. But yeah, dog, like. Bearer of the powers of Khonshu, man. The Mando with the bando, bruh.
Do do do. Get some berserk.
Berserk my ass, shit. The lamb out here, bruh. The lamb.
What you know about berserk? Don't get me started.
Right, don't. Like, Griffin is not the one to fuck with.
Lightning lamb.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Hadouken.
Shake my empty mug.
You could not live with your own failure.
Oh yeah.
What did that bring you?
It's me, man. Black Thanos.
This is Black Thanos.
Black Thanos Jones. AKA Agent 335. AKA the Diddler.
Diddly.
AKA Dick Dastardly.
Damn.
AKA Run Mexico.
Damn.
Run Mexico.
AKA Tobias Well. You know, say hello to the bad guy himself. We in here, dog.
We in this thing. All right. My ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ocean, man, it's been a couple weeks for you, man. Glad to have you back here, man.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, man. We did a couple tales from the TARDISes, and that was a good vibe. But it's always good to have you in the mix, man.
Definitely.
Thank everybody for being here, man. It's a great day. Been great cool weather. In the midst of all the rain coming in and out, but it's still humid and hot, but you know, it's the edge of summer. I need to see a beach, but that's another story for another day. How y'all been, man? How you week?
Long.
Yeah.
Treacherous.
It was a week.
But you know, got some good news in the mail today, and
okay.
Birthday coming up next week, so.
All right.
Plan to, do nothing but play Apex all day in my underwear. Maybe eat a steak or three.
Okay. Don't sound bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Funny. All right, man, I gotta turn my notifications off. This motherfucker's late. That pride when you put somebody on something, you're just like, yeah, man, check it out. I think you'll like it. Anyway. All right, motherfucker. Where my notifications at? Oh, I can do it on my phone. They interrupted the whole dang intro, man. Shout out. Because I don't never mute the shit, so I'll be forgetting I can do it.
I mean, Harley Quinn was funny this week, though.
Oh, yeah. All right. Harley Quinn.
We're going to get the Swamp Thing to help us.
Fell asleep on that shit, too, last night.
Bruh.
I can ruin it, though. It...
Nora out here just going off.
Nah. All right. Harley Quinn, like, real quickly. Before I get into my week, Harley Quinn was hilarious this week. That was like one of the funniest shits I seen. Like, so far the season was kind of mid because it's like you kind of knew it to expect, so you kind of getting what you know you more or less either asked for. I don't know, but this episode was really like Alright, they hit the nail on the head, because the way everything was popping off, from the songs to like Bruce and Catwoman.
Oh yeah,
to, like,
was
funny. Like, all this whole shit.
Want to go
Music
home,
Meister,
bro. This whole shit been hilarious. Like, this episode was off the chain.
I bought you two kittens. My name is Martha and Thomas.
Right. I'm gonna learn cat and learn how to communicate with my parents. I mean, the cats.
I don't want your Anglo-Saxon cats.
Yo, Anglo-Saxon cats.
Yo, Catwoman, black as fuck, bro. She like, no.
Eat this pussy. Meow.
Got her own wing. Like, Bruce was like, they simped out Bruce, bro. I was
they did.
My ass out.
Maybe you can stay in that shit to black.
Maybe you can stay in our in my wing tonight.
Bruce, bro. I was laughing.
Super hard,
like,
bro.
Like, super hard, bro.
Like, just.
Like, let her breathe, dog. Like,
hell no. Nah, like, he was.
Do you need a place to sit? Here's my face.
Here's my face.
Like, hell,
he was holding on hard.
Nasty, nigga. Bro. You was nasty, Wayne.
On my face.
He could not let it go.
Ready.
Catwoman put that El Gato on that man.
Meow.
He was not ready.
Instantly regretted it. Bob's remorse. Like, you know what? This is old.
Bob's remorse my ass. That nigga was locked in. He
was
not fighting.
Catwoman was like, look, I had my
freedom. I want to have freedom at home, okay?
She just like,
here's some cats.
Right, like, you could take them bitches back to your house.
Nah, she like a cat for real, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
little Saxon cats out of here.
Like, look, I want to hang with you when I'm with you.
I want you to pet me when I want you to pet me.
Other and then let me do what the fuck I'm doing.
I could prefer ball on your rug and get out of here.
Yeah, and leave me the fuck alone.
Alfred, you're making nachos.
Right, Alfred, I need nachos. This motherfucker like, shit.
Just fucking
like, you know what? I'm about to drug your ass in this fucking suit.
Yeah, he called a therapist. He's like, bro, I'm calling the music my
hell like, yeah. Like, look, y'all need to work this shit out.
That shit crazy.
I'm not going to be responsible for this shit.
No,
how was
man.
Your week?
My week was like, it started off slow, but then towards the end, it accelerated, right? All right. How was my week, man? So, last week I was on the internet. I was just like, you know, scourging through, you know, just internet content. And I came across a few memes that I didn't get. And the imagery was from the anime Berserk. What I didn't know at the time was it was from the 2016 version of Berserk. It was like the retelling that came around 2012. So I'm looking at the art because I asked Skos. I hit Skos up and I was just like, bro, why everybody on the internet hate this blue eye? I was like, this blue haired bitch from Berserk. And then he was just like, you ain't never seen Berserk. He was like, you used to be over the house, bro. You ain't seen it. I said, nah, dog. Don't you have it? Let me hold it. He was just like, bro, someone.
That Berserk ain't the like, one someone, that's from now.
No, he was like, nah, someone took his Berserk. He don't have Berserk. And which I got a flashback because I remember when I used to, you know, when I used to mingle a lot in a lot of different, like, anime communities, one of the biggest things that always comes up in those communities was, like, one of the biggest things that always came up was, when it came down to Berserk, people would tell you how dope it was, but when nobody let you hold shit because they always getting their shit stole. And I remember people, I remember talking to a bunch of people coming up about Berserk, but people had it, but they wouldn't let you hold it. And you couldn't get into it when you're there at the meetup. And I didn't know nobody
yeah,
had the DVD.
Berserk, Inuyasha, and Rurouni Kenshin.
Yeah, because Berserk used to come up a lot because Cartoon Network never showed Berserk. Mm. So a lot of people didn't get put on, and if you didn't know, you didn't know. Anyway, shit got to me and I was like, you know, I'm finna watch the 1997 version. So I find it on YouTube and I started it like Sunday. I started it like, it's 25 episodes. So I was like, all right, I started it like last Sunday. I cranked it out. I probably watched one episode, fell asleep, woke up Monday through the week. I'm just boom, 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 boom. I'm just knocking them out. And I ended up finishing on Friday. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It took me like a good 5 days just about to finish this shit. And I took that undertaking in the week, and I still had shit going on in the middle of the week. One of the biggest things I had going on this week was, before I get to Berserk, because that's just too much to get into there, but I started and finished it, and I got a lot to say. But I had tickets to the weekend. You know what I'm saying? I was supposed to go on the weekend. I bought two tickets like when they first dropped. I got the pre-sale because I bought the vinyl. So they gave me a pre-sale. It's like, hey man, you bought the album, you get a pre-sale link. Cool. Pre-sale link dropped. I was at the time, you know, was like, you know what, I'ma buy two tickets. And it was a surprise. It was a surprise for a date. And you know, shit just didn't plan out, you know. shit didn't plan out. I was left with two tickets. Now, for a while, I was like, maybe I said ticket. Doja Cat dropped out, so I was like, damn, Doja Cat ain't gonna be there. It's just gonna be the weekend. Then the weekend added Mike Dean and Snow Allegra and Castrodon. And I was like, oh shit, okay, you know what? I don't think I'm gonna sell this ticket. If I do, maybe I sell one. And then I tried to sell one at the last minute. But at a certain point, I was just trying to give it away, trying to see, hey, man, anybody want this ticket? Because I got an extra ticket. And I know Macchio was going to end up joining me. You know what I'm saying? Just like, hey, man, come to the weekend. Go. But something else came up, so I ended up having to go solo dolo. Man, I packed me a little goodie bag. Man, went up to this stadium. It was at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I was in the lower 300 section. You know what I'm saying? Like right in the middle on the back end of the so I can see all the screens. I'm like, smack. If this was a movie theater, I got like that seat, right? I like to do that shit for concerts. Now, I hate it being this high up, because when Snow performed, I couldn't hear her as clearly as I wanted to hear, because I really enjoyed her performance. But the sound system, the way it was, like the way she sings, it just wasn't the right type of venue, because she's this Sade-esque, like lounge, jazzy, singer. But she can really fucking sing. So you get her acoustics right, bro, and her like, she got that early Alicia Keys like powerfulness to her voice, where she can project and just fill up the whole damn stadium. So she was doing that too, but I felt like they were adjusting the sound as they went. I could tell they was adjusting the sound as they went, because they didn't nail her sound until she was almost done. And I was like, eh, it is what it is. But I really enjoyed her show. Probably like 40 minutes after that, the weekend came out, bro, and like, nigga, I almost went deaf. I almost went deaf, because I ain't never been to a pop concert before. You know what I'm saying? I think the closest I came was going when I saw Panic at the Disco in 2018. 2018, I went and saw Panic at the Disco, but I saw them in Canada. So the crowd wasn't really like, it's not a diss to Canada. I was in Vancouver. The crowd wasn't really like amped up, but it was damn near sold out show. Like that shit was packed. You know what I'm saying? So when I saw Fall Out Boy like a year or two before that in Tampa, but that was at an amphitheater. So seeing the weekend was just a different experience, because like when I got there, you gotta think about the demographic, bro. It's all women. Like, women love the weekend. Like, what they came out. Yeah. Like, every baddie in Atlanta had to have came out for that show, because it was like, bro, I ain't never seen no shit like that. I ain't gonna lie, bro. That shit was just, I've never seen that many women in one place. Like, I went to this, I ain't never really think about it. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, well, shit, I got two tickets. I'm going to use mine. I'm going to scan. I'm going to enjoy the show. You know what I'm saying? Something to do in the summertime. And I know it's going to be a dope show. Oh, man. All my expectations got exceeded, bro. Because I got to give the man some, like, credit. Like, he really sounded like them records. Like, on a lot of them songs, he really sounded like them fucking records. And it wasn't until, it wasn't until he did Heartless that I realized the way they fixed this. Bro, he did Heartless, with Metro Boomin. Bro, I thought it felt like an earthquake. The whole band stadium, the bass, like the whole thing felt like an earthquake. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, you could feel like that shit just like, that shit was like, that shit was just, like, it was just a short little clip, man. You can, like, even through my phone, you can hear, like, just the bass. Right. Imagine
how raw that shit is.
But you can actually feel it. Like, I'm going to tell you, this is one of the greatest things about, this is one of the greatest things about America, especially liberal America. And you got to give credit to these women. Like, this is culturally diverse, most diverse crowd of women I've never seen. I got, like, Middle Eastern women to my, like, behind me. I got Italian women in front of me, white girl on the right of me. Spanish girl on the left of me, black girl down. It's like women everywhere, all races, right? Weekend, he have his R&B and his ballads and shit, but nigga say nigga. Bruh, when he said that shit, I gotta give credit to the section, bruh. Everybody around that bitch who wasn't gonna say that shit didn't say that shit, bruh. They skipped over the word. Like, live people singing word for fucking word. But the section I'm in, bruh, if you weren't black, you ain't say nigga. And everybody understood the assignment. I ain't never seen no shit like that.
That would let you know who was possible you could have fucked in the bathroom stall that night. I mean,
bro, it was wild. Like,
that should have let you know right then.
That shit was wild. Like, that whole experience around there, like, from the singing, like, from screaming, like, all the screaming.
Glad I wasn't there.
Like, the screaming was just like all that shit right behind me, bro. It's just like it was just loud in there. But he put on the dope show. He did all the songs that I like. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, House of Balloons. Yeah, he took it back to House of Balloons. He did all the dope songs off of Dawn FM. You know, which the whole album dope. But he did like every song like you wanted him to do out of time. But my one of my favorite parts of the whole night was this. The Hurricane off of the Kanye album. When he performed this one, it's like, this is the first time I really heard like everybody singing. Like,
these chicks is really on that shit. That would have went down, bruh. That would have went down.
Then he dropped the Hills Have Eyes right after, bruh. Right. That place erupted. Right. Like, Hills Have Eyes had dropped. And like, bruh, the place erupted. Like, that's it. That was it, bruh. At that point, it was like, it was a straight party, bruh. These chicks is dancing. Everybody's these chicks is drunk.
Right. They Everybody are here. Dancing. It is going down.
Like, I'm up there. I stood up at one point. I had my joint in there. I lit that shit up, bro. I'm just like, the whole section, I ain't give a fuck. I'm just like, fuck it. I ain't not gonna come to the weekend.
I mean, if I go to a weekend concert, I'm about to go in there and get fucked up, bro.
You got to. And I'm just like, but
that is my whole. That's my whole motive. Ain't no ulterior. That's my whole motive.
But the whole, I'm talking about, as soon as the lights went off, my whole section smelled like weed. I was like, okay. I smell it. Oh, I already know what y'all about. So, not gonna say he did all the songs. You sometimes you sit down, sometimes you stand up. You know, I had dope seats, so I got to look at the, you know, the Jumbotron. You know, got a, you know, a couple of shots.
Some
brand seating. Bruh, it was a full moon that night. I think a ritual happened that night. I can't quite put my finger on it.
I'm quite sure it did.
I'm almost 100% sure some kind of ritual happened that night in that stadium, because I just felt it, bro. It's just, I had some beads on my wrist. And then at a certain point, them beads start going crazy, bro. I was like, what the fuck is going on right here? And then by the time Blinding Lights came on, I understood, like, oh, shit. Like, you could feel. That was the first time I felt like that much clear, clairvoyant energy, bro. Like, this shit was, you could damn near cut the energy in the stadium with a knife. Like, you, like, if you any kind of empath, you can feel all the energy, like, being concentrated. It's like people, it's like these women, it's like the women, whoever was on stage was like putting that shit in jars, bro. It just felt like the energy, it was so much energy in the room, you had to collect some of it.
Somebody, right, I was about to say, somebody is collecting that shit up.
Bro, there's something going on at that show, but like, cause the energy was fucking insane. I ain't never felt like, and then the bass from everything, that plus the drinks and the edible done kicked in. Oh man, fuck out of here, bro. I had a blast. That is like, that is, I ain't gonna even lie to you, I gotta give it to the weekend. That is one of the best shows, if not the best show. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. Watch the Throne was the last time I seen something that big. Like, pause. Like, something that was just on a different, like, scale when it comes to stadium shit. Watch the Throne was on another fucking level. Like, that exceeded everything I ever seen up until that point. But the Weeknd tour, the Fall Out Boy tour, and the Panic at the Disco, they on the same wave. But nah, Weeknd ahead of them. Like, what he doing with his show, yeah, he doing it right. Like, so shout out, man. That's what I did for the week. I finished Berserk, and I got to the end of that shit, and I was depressed. And I went and watched the Netflix version to get more depressed. Clarity. I got it, and I was even further depressed because, dog, you seen it. Like, that shit fucked me up. Like, that shit was nightmare fuel. I got to the end, and I'm just like, and I just can't even say it, bro. Like, I was in straight the anime called the end. The anime went deep until that bitch got deep.
Yeah.
Like, it was bits and pieces, but five. I'm talking by the time you got to episode 20, oh, bro, this shit deep.
Oh, no. Hey, and guess what? We got movies, too, so you need to watch the movies.
And then when that shit, bro, when they went to the hell verse, bro, it was a rap, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Like,
oh, yeah, you got the, what was that shit called? The Seed of the King and all that, bruh, shit. Little necklace.
I'm going to have to do a private thing for Berserk, but I finished that shit, and it's a classic anime. It's a classic. It's a straight up classic. Now, I'm going to give you my number. The I'm going to tell you this. The Netflix one, whoo, you won't like the net. You won't like, hold on. You won't like No. That's Bastard. No.
That's Bastard. No. That is not.
You can watch the Netflix. They got the movie version where they summed it up in movies instead of like the, instead of the series. Instead of 25 episodes, they give you 3 movies that are like an hour and a half each.
Mm-hmm.
So in the span of 3 movies, you can get the whole thing. They give you a lot of missing
that pieces. That is Berserk.
That weren't in the original 1997 version. They fill in the holes of so many. They make a lot of shit make sense. It's a lot of scenes that I didn't like in the original because like this don't make sense. And they corrected them. They fixed everything wrong with Berserk in the new one. The problem was with the new one, they decided to experiment. So they mixed in this clunky CGI with it that it's so bad.
Just don't quite look
right. It just
right.
takes away from it. It's not as gruesome, but story-wise, you can still get the point. The reason why I say you won't like the Netflix version, it's way hornier than the 1997 version. And in the 1997 version, it's horny. And there's an attempted rape scene.
Yeah.
And then it shit, like, it's gross. Like, nah, bro, that shit just is. It gets gross. It gets gross. It just gets to a point where like it's like not gross in the literal.
I feel fucked up for watching it.
Right, and it's like so much negative. Like you wouldn't like it in the sense of, I know you don't like anime or any animations that pretty much get too horny. You don't like them too horny, and this was way more horny than the original. So I would say watch the original, because the original is not as horny, but you still get the point of what was supposed to happen in that scene. Like right. The nudity scenes are like fan servicey, where it's just like, oh yeah, titty pop out, but you know, you kind of forget that they got titties in it, that because it's so much killing and blood. The CGI version, when they get to them love scenes, motherfucker, you think it's HBO.
They about to show it
HBO
to you.
HBO that shit. And it's like,
they about to show it to
it's,
you,
it's
dog.
CGI, and it's like, yo, and it's a well choreographed love scene, because it's like, yo, somebody animated this.
Yeah, it's
shit.
A love scene, all right, but
it's like, no, it's more or less softcore hentai, basically, on Netflix, and I ain't expect that shit. But anyway, aside from the story, man, overall, man, I gotta give Berserk, like, the series up until that point, I got that shit an 8, man. It's an 8, and I love it. Like, Berserk is a solid. It was almost a 9. The main reason why it's not a 10 is because so many holes got filled in when I watched the Netflix version. When I watched the more updated version.
And the fucked up thing is, you would have had to have waited all these years to get those connected dots.
Yeah, because you know the guy who draws it, he just died last year. So this was his life's work. He literally been doing this his entire career. This was his one thing he was doing, and he finished it before he died. But fans would tell you to just read it. So my plan is to just read it.
Definitely.
My plan is to just read it. So that's my next thing, is to just collect Berserk and just read that shit. But watching that motherfucker, bro, that shit fucked me up, because it's straight, it's beautiful, bro. If I put them both together,
knowing that Berserk could have been so good after all this time,
put them both together, bro, Berserk is a 9, bro. If I mix the old version with the new version, it actually makes a 9. Once you fill in them holes, it give you a whole picture together.
I have to agree.
Because you get the original ends on the cliffhanger, and I didn't know that it ends on the cliffhanger. If you watch the Netflix version, they give you what happens after that cliffhanger. Mm. So you get the closure of the story, and you're like, yes, I got the motherfucking closure, now I know what happened. But Berserk, man, I recommend that to anybody's anime starter pack, bro. That's one of the most important anime ever, and I'm ashamed to say it's 2022 and I'm just finishing it. Like, I don't know how that
took that long.
I don't know how that shit missed me for so long.
I mean, but it did take, you know, it did kind of take that long for it to end. So,
yeah, I wouldn't have been able to watch this if I watched it way back then. I still would have had to wait a few years.
Berserk came out with the Sega Saturn, so
But yeah, man, that was
Sega Dreamcast.
Aside
no,
from
Sega Dreamcast, not Sega Saturn. Sega Dreamcast. Yeah.
No, I finished.
Stankin'.
I finished.
It came out with that shit, bro.
I finished Kagarugari Twin and I finished The Sandman.
I didn't finish Kagarugari Twins, but I finished Sandman. Kagarugari Twins. I've been waiting on that.
It ain't as horny as the first one.
It ain't, but
I mean, that was the appeal for me. Like, I
still bet my life.
I like certain shows, like, when it's horny because that's what it's supposed to be. I don't like it when it's just, like, cliche-ishly, like, niggas just fall into some titties and shit like that. That shit just be like, man, come the fuck on. But when the shit just, like, they playing dice and
I bet my life.
Yeah, like you put your life on the damn dice game and, like, and Shada's just, like, she getting enticed because she about to win, so she licking her lips and doing these sexy poses looking at
and
you
she
like...
she got a sister now. Like it's not be, her sister,
you're
but
finna be
that's
my
a...
pet and do whatever the fuck I say if I win this dice game. And Shada's
Lord
of
mercy.
Like, yo, she gonna have
no, hell no, because I'm about to win, bitch.
About to win. And it's like the faces they be making. But that one's just like the aesthetic sells it because
and the fact that that's what she the get game. Off on, bruh.
The games be hard to follow sometimes. Like the games really be a lot. The games that they talk about, because in season one they did regular Vegas poker games, like just regular Vegas shit with season one. By the time you get to season two, they started making up some Yu-Gi-Oh shit. They got real deep in the games and the rules. You were just like, wait a minute. Like, it was more fun when you understood
the rules
of the
game. No, they started incorporating non-American
games.
Yeah, non-American gambling games and games of chance.
And some of them, they just got complicated. In Twin, they more or less find a balance between both, but it's Marisa Atomis. This is the prequel to the first season. This is what takes place right up until season one happened. But for y'all, for those of you who want to go check it out, go check it out, man.
Definitely
7 out of 10 for me.
Better bring you a four leaf clover, cause you better have you some luck, cause they finna fuck you up in the game.
I want to go to a casino.
I don't. Y'all can have.
You want to what?
Y'all got that.
Nah, man. Casino, man. Just. Roger Kagaruga made nigga win a gamble, bro.
Hell like, no.
Let me get out here and risk it. Get out here and risk it, huh?
Look, it depends. Like, if it's an old girl and her, you know, quote unquote sister, yeah, I'll gamble with that.
I ain't gambling with the little girl.
Shit.
She trying to entice, like, I'm like, probably like, no.
Cause I don't give a fuck about the money. Like, once I go into the strip club, the casino, I have a certain amount of money that I'm already gonna possibly lose. So I don't give a fuck. I'll gamble whatever as long as it's within that realm of that. So hell yeah, girl, whatever. If I happen to win, I won, so I get that and your girl. Yeah.
I never seen you turn red before.
Really?
You gotta thank Ocean Young in the game.
See, that's another thing, though. Y'all see me, like, cause you know, for better or for worse, or what you want to call it, like, y'all seen me go red. You know what I'm saying? That shit be it's a trip because it's like. I don't know, you change the color and motherfuckers notice and it's like,
oh shit.
It's a whole energy that come behind it, but nigga ain't never seen me red.
My bad, Super Saiyan.
Oh no, you good.
Is it my bad, Super Saiyan?
Shit get you hot, man. Like, when I just be, oh no.
Feel a certain way behind that.
That shit be. It ain't a fun feeling, but it's, what can you do? It's you.
Yeah, right.
And don't stare at the moon. It's full.
You're right.
Why not?
Well, as long as your tail
because
is...
Because you're a sand.
Yeah, if your tail is already, you know... If you hadn't cut your tail off yet, you might get mad. You might say or do some shit you didn't mean to say or do. Because the Zaru form took over.
Took over.
So, I mean, you know, you got to think about it.
Facts.
Being an Aquarius, that shit plays a huge role. An Aquarius A type is way different from an Aquarius B type.
And that's simply a February Aquarius versus a March Aquarius. I mean, January.
Nah, it's really based on your characteristic volatility. Mm. How triggered do you get?
So that's just like a defining metric of being in Aquarius is being triggered?
No. No, it's like how you react when you are triggered.
Okay.
That's what it is. Like, an A-type Aquarius is like, yo, man, I don't like the way you're making me feel right now. I don't like that, and they're going to address it immediately.
What is the A for? As in A to B, as in blind case study, or A to B?
No, it's like the type. It's like, okay, there's
like a blood
two
type.
Different... No, it's like, okay, you can't say, oh, you're personality one, personality two. It's like personality A, personality B.
Okay.
So it's like the A type is when they are confronted with something that is contrary to their structure or whatever, it's like, ew, I don't like the way that you're making me feel about this. And it's not something that I can agree with or, you know, like work my way into. I don't like it. That's the A type. They're gonna address it directly front on.
Okay.
A B type is like, yo, I don't really like this, but I'll try to work it as best I can to try to, you know, meet the compromise in the middle, and then I'll try to talk to you. It's more of a passive aggressive way, but passive aggressive to the point where, all right, now I'm getting kind of pissed off. You should have known me long enough to understand the signs. Now I'm getting kind of to that level. That's the difference between the A and the B type. And the B type is more so, which is what I am. It's like, we want to meet the compromise. We'll find the way to try to, you know, meet in the middle. We're the leader that doesn't want to be the leader. We'll lead a group project, but we lead by facilitating everybody else to make the group project work, mm-hmm. and not take on a leader role.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, we got this PowerPoint. We all have to do 3 slides on. All right. So how are we going to do that? Don't worry about it. What do you like?
Y'all like the support mages. I mean, that's what I'm thinking of, you know.
But we also have a lot of skills or a lot of attributes put in attack. We're defense. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we are more support mages, but we have attack.
I just meant in that instance, you know, like for the like group project. Like it's a group project. Like it's what we plan from the outside.
That's the best way to put it. We are boosters.
Mm.
Yeah. A type and B type. A type will attack before we boost, but B type, like who I am, will boost the whole team before deciding, hey, now I'm a cast Thunder. But it took me 2 rounds before that to charge up the Thunder. So, you know, I'm going to tell you, hey, man, you might want to do this, and then you're going to do Quick Slash. And then you over here, you're going to decide, hey, I'm going to cast Haste on everybody else. So it'll be quick. You can do Quick Slash 2 times.
Haste,
which makes everybody speed up.
You said hate?
Yeah, cast hate.
I was like, you want me to hate on a nigga? Boy, I hate you.
You could cast hate.
I hate your Spider-Man shirt.
At some point.
I hate your black shirt.
Yeah.
I hate your beard.
See, you know what?
I done seen.
That'll work.
I can hate. I done seen some.
Antagonize. Yep, see? You get the motherfucker to target you, and then I come in with the cast of Thunder in the background, and that motherfucker don't even know because he's targeted on you because you talking all this crazy shit. He's like, why is he saying this? You know what?
Because I hate you, nigga. That's
and
why.
And now all the attack is based on him, and now I'm back here in the background like, oh, Thunder, my nigga. Boom. And then they don't know. Yep.
And that's how they came up with the new prequel to Game of Thrones.
No, that shit, I can't wait, bro. It come out in 2 weeks. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's coming around the corner. I can't wait for that.
I can't wait, boy. That's gonna be nice.
Dragons fucking killing.
Yes.
Sign me up.
For Game of Thrones.
Sign me up.
For Game of Thrones.
That is what got me so enthralled in Game of Thrones.
Dragons fucking and killing. And then y'all threw some gold in there, and I was like, oh, they do it for money? Ugh. All right.
Remember, I had a list of the niggas.
Yeah. I can't wait.
No, I like olden time dramas. So you know what I'm saying? I like, like I like
when you die by the sword.
No, right. It was like really Game of Thrones was really soapy. It was like someone came in at one point and was like, bro, we're gonna throw some soap opera shit. They threw Telemundo like
drama.
Melodrama elements.
Yeah.
Telenuevo.
Like a lot of them.
Telemundo was a channel.
I mean, and layered that shit on top of
Telenuevo is like soap.
See the thing about it was they were like, okay, well, we gonna give you this story.
Telemundo weatherman, Jose Frio is right here.
Bruh.
Nah, they threw a lot of like super melodramatic elements like in game.
They were like, okay, we're gonna give you this storyline, but then it's gonna go on top of this storyline, which goes this way.
Oh, the door.
And it goes this way. And then this storyline, it goes all the way this way. Bruh.
Oh, the door.
Yeah.
Oh, door.
Yeah. Exactly. And then they had overarching storylines that carried from like season 3 to the end. Or from season 1 and then it didn't pick back up until like season 4. And then you get it at the end and you're like, what is this?
Give me that.
Yeah.
That's what I think that the last season of Atlanta's going to be.
All right, man.
Jesus Trump.
Bro, what the?
They are coming after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Trump. I'm here.
Oh, you talking about that raid?
I'm here to talk about the glory of Trump and what he represents to me, the common man.
I don't know what glory that is.
The FBI is after him. And if they come after him, they'll come after you. They'll come after you. They'll come after you too.
I mean, they can come after me, but they don't get nothing.
Well, I mean, he might have had the nuclear codes to be able to sell them, but that's neither here nor there. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Trump is under attack, and we got to bring this. We got to make this a Christian nation. The separation of church and state, that needs to be up out of there. We need to unite the church and the state.
Under
the Constitution
and opinions,
the Constitution,
and feelings of Ocean are expressed from upon.
I don't know that nigga. This is Randy.
Oh, and racist Randy, because I don't agree with that. I don't hold to any of that. Church and state should definitely be separate.
We have to. And I mean, we have to. The founding fathers made a mistake. They didn't mean to put separation of church and state. They wanted them to be together.
No, they didn't.
They did. My great grandfather was there.
No, because there is no way, no matter how you write it, where you can find a common ground in between.
We also need to get rid of checks and balances. What DeSantis is doing, going after that attorney general, that is what we need in our politics.
See, that's coming
from... We don't need a system of checks and balances anymore.
That's coming from a young blood who had too much of the Wild West of the internet, who does not understand. Decentralization does need to exist, but to a capacity where it is at some level... controlled. This motherfucker is...
You sound like a Nancy Pelosi spokesman.
Nope. Not at all.
Did they get to you?
Nope.
How much did they pay you?
Not at all. Nothing.
They didn't pay you anything? You doing it for free?
Guess what? I'm not from here.
Rollo Goodlove.
I'm not from here. Hell no, Rollo Goodlove.
No, I thought about the Boondocks.
Yeah, Rollo Goodlove my ass. Hell yeah. Oh, you talking about him, not me. Yeah, no.
But it's very weird in this political spectrum. We're not a political podcast, but, you know, the FBI.
You can see that there is no way to kind of like avoid it. Bruh. Only because watching Atlanta, you feel like, and you have had this satisfaction at the end of every season of Atlanta where when you watch it, you're like, okay, some of this stuff is standalone, but it somehow ties into some other storyline you gave me earlier on. You got conditioned to believe that and conditioned to watch it in that capacity. And I feel like now they just know how to cover that shit up.
But it's a narrative that's going around saying that Atlanta is for white people. Or that black people really don't like Atlanta. And
no, I'm like, that narrative could not came
be fucking further from the fucking truth. No,
that narrative came from the idea on the episode of Hot Ones when
what's Hot
Ones? My baby Hot Ones. Hot Ones with Chris Evans. The nigga eating hot wings.
Okay, yeah. I thought you meant an episode of Atlanta called Hot Ones. You're talking about
no. Just, oh, okay. Yeah, no. Hot Ones. And my baby, my waifu, Olsen, Scarlet Witch, was on there. And she said...
Oh, that she liked Atlanta.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, white people, now they watch it to understand black culture, black, you know, black mentality. It's like, no.
No, they got Blackish for that.
Yeah. And even still, that shit ain't it. Like, motherfucker, if that's what you think the black experience is, that's why y'all motherfuckers still jaded and disconnected. But we're not gonna talk about that. But yeah.
But I mean, that's like I said, that's fucking stupid. When I look at Atlanta, I look at places that I done passed by and been in, like, oh shit, I know where this is at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some Atlanta-esque type stories that go on in there. You know, it's some very Atlanta nuances that go on. Like, even
in your daily life, that is Mike what Vick, Atlanta is.
Mike Vick racing motherfuckers outside of the club. Like, so,
you know what I'm saying?
Like,
you've seen that. Even in your scope of what celebrity status would be, even if you're in a community where you don't have a motherfucker who made it all the way to the pros, but you have that motherfucker you know that's going to race niggas outside the club because back in high school, he broke track records or whatever, or he was on the football team and he made all state and this, this, and that, and he's still trying to keep that legacy alive. You know what that is. You can relate to that. And Atlanta has found a way to keep that writing relatable.
And another thing that I like about
on every scale, like, you go up the ladder and you can still relate it.
Another thing I like about Atlanta, some of the stuff, like some of the subtle things that I want them to do, they did. Like, I remember in the first season, Earn sold them pit bulls because he needed the money with Darius.
He thought he was going to get it right back. He was like, nah, bro, you got to invest that shit. That takes months to come back.
And then it did in the next season.
Right, and he's like, oh, shit. Yeah. Now I see what he was talking about. Yeah.
So I like the trailer that they got because it came in. You saw the invisible car.
Mm-hmm.
Darius got out the invisible season. Car.
They didn't even address the invisible car this season. They didn't touch on it. They didn't, no commercials, no nothing this whole season. But they brought it back next season because they knew that they had put that nugget. Like, you know, it's a random ass nigga on the internet. Like, he got this money. He's rolling in them circles. He can do some shit, or he's got some shit that nobody else got. The invisible car.
Yeah.
And but it exists. And that was the crazy thing. Like, for every nigga we know, that shit don't exist. But the invisible car did exist. That was
it ran over some niggas.
You could see that it really was an actual thing. That was the difference between us and them. That was how Atlanta kind of like blurred the line and was like, I got you.
Yeah.
I get it.
And then I don't understand how you can say this shit is for white people, especially after the last season when you saw how, like, it's talking about reparations.
That was where white people attach themselves to. It's gentrification on a social media or, you know, multimedia level. It's gentrification. It's the same fucking thing as, hey, you've been living in this neighborhood your whole life. Hey, we paid all your cousins and neighbors to move out, but you lived here forever. You're still going to live here. And now there's a Starbucks where your old gas station fucking corner store used to be. How do you feel about that? I don't care, because we hang out here every Saturday and drink coffee now. You know what I'm saying? It's the same shit. It's the same shit, bruh.
Damn.
It's the same shit, and it's... You see it from a different level than I see it, because you and I, on surface, if we were both just hanging out, they would think me and you was both brothers.
Yeah.
Because our complexions are very close and similar. We have a similar timbre in the way we talk. We have very similar traits. Yeah. But our genetic makeup is very different.
Yeah.
Excuse me. The experience you have and the experience I have are very different.
Yeah.
But there's a Venn diagram in the middle.
Well, some where shit.
We relate. Yeah. Well, we will relate. And Atlanta brings that shit to light where white people feel comfortable enough to try to put themselves in that conversation, in that uncomfortable conversation with white people or non-black individuals or non-minority individuals, where they feel like they can have this area of connection.
Hadouken!
Basically, yeah. And that's what happens when they're met at the end of the conversation. Like, look, bro, you don't understand.
The coins came out of the nigga.
Yeah. Oh, coins. Yeah.
Lombaki Creo Plomo Pleozona.
Hell yeah, that's the hypnotizing, yeah. That's an anime, yeah. Yep. That's an anime as well.
The cans are warmed by my body heat.
There's a cat in a there's a cat in a vending machine, and he's purple, and he's got these big ass gold eyes, and he's got all these cans of soda, right? And the girl's like, "Oh, I'm thirsty, I want a soda," and she gets one out of the vending machine, and the cat is inside, and she's like, "Oh, it's warm, I don't like it." And he's like, "It's warm with my body heat now," but he's God. The cat is God. That's the trip to it. He's God, and they don't know it or understand. He's like, the soda out of the machine is warm. He's like, it's warm with my body heat, meow. And they're like, this cat is giving us warm drinks, but he's God, though.
Whoa! Hey!
Don't touch me.
Don't touch me!
But this shit, you gotta watch that. It's called Panty Pony Dash. The teacher is a little girl. She's like, how old was the teacher? 14 years old or something like that? And she was like super short. And she had blonde hair because she was like half American, half Japanese. But she taught at a Japanese school. And there was this other girl there. And she had a cowlick on her head. And it was kind of like shaped like a heart. But she was singing this song. It was the Maho song. And Maho means like, huh, or what?
You could not live with your own failure. Where did that bring you? Back to me.
And guess what happened?
You know that's what he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's what he was looking for.
And what did you have when the dust settled? Group standing
these
there.
Chemicals are turning the fucking frogs gay.
But guess what? Groot is out here doing his best to make sure that shit happens the way it's supposed to.
I am Groot.
He was.
He is was Groot.
He is Groot.
Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico.
He is Groot, bruh.
I did have a take about Atlanta.
Go ahead.
I did see the
hit it.
I seen where it stemmed from. In the sense of, you know, it's like, I don't know. You gotta, it's like whatever you feel constitutes makes it a black show, but it's like
It's black, but it's not necessarily.
I don't know how it's not black.
No. What I'm saying is, I'm like, good TV is good TV, you know, but
it just happens to be from a black perspective.
No, if a black man tells you this is black. Believe him. That's to me. That's it.
Yeah. Like, right. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, it just so happens to be from a black
show. Believe him.
But I'm trying to figure out what part about this shit is not black. Like, it's a nigga who trapped, then became a rapper, and then went on tour.
No,
but the, still got
like
robbed.
You just said, like, the ability for white people to be comfortable enough to say, "Oh, I can watch this and understand what black plight is."
Because
they still no,
they
you
still
can't.
Won't. Yeah.
No, you can't.
Like, you don't want that stain upon someone saying you ain't giving back to the culture when you're giving back to the culture.
But he doesn't mean to.
But someone like just trying to pull you.
He's giving you his comedic scope. Mm-hmm. It just so happens to be a black comedic scope that white people can palate.
Yeah.
That is where this weird ass middle ground comes in. It's like, now white people feel like, oh, well, I can account for the things that we've done through the scope of Atlanta. It's palatable to everybody in that sense. And black people are like, nah, I'm not saying that. That's just, you know, that's what niggas go through. They just found the way to niggas put that shit out there on TV, bruh.
Some niggas don't want art, bruh. That, I'm just saying.
No, it's no.
Don't be wanting
every
art.
Motherfucker likes art. And this goes back to what I've been saying ever since this shit went down 3-4 years ago when everybody was coming for Dave Chappelle. Comedy. Excuse me. Let me clear my throat all the way.
Got a little Randy in there.
Comedy is going to make fun of everyone for the sake of comedy. That is what comedy does. There is no limit. There is no level where comedy oversteps a boundary. That does not exist because it is what art. Art is subjective. If you are personally offended by this work of art that is for you to process, that is not thrust upon the artist who painted the picture. Art exists. Comedy is going to exist, and everybody is equally made fun of as long as there is no hatred put behind it.
And even if it is hatred, fuck them.
No, that's not comedy. Comedy does not exist for the sake of hurting someone's feelings.
I think it does.
No, it doesn't.
No,
comedy.
What about
no,
roasting?
No. A roast is not to hurt someone's feelings. What we call roasting here is shaming. When you shame somebody, you're not talking bad about them in a way to hurt their feelings. You're talking bad about them in a way to be like, yeah, you're the shit, my nigga, for doing that, but it's fucked up that you did it.
But what about when I'm not trying to be their friend and I'm trying to hurt the fuck out of their feelings and telling them that their mom's a whore?
That's not comedy. That's not comedy, and that is not roasting. That is being hurtful. That's not the same. When you roast somebody, you are telling somebody about themselves in a comedic way. It's like, yo, man, you my boy and I love you, but you did this shit, dog. I'm sorry to say. Like,
but what if he's not my boy and I'm like, the only difference
comedy.
Between an airplane and
no,
your mom is that everybody hasn't been in an airplane.
No, but that's not comedy.
What I'm saying is if someone can flat out, I'm finna say the most hurtful shit because not only is it hurtful, but this shit is funny as fuck because I'm gonna make it extra funny because it's something.
No, see, there's.
But you felt bad for saying it, so you ain't say it. So when the nigga say the shit about the shit that you already noticed, but you want to
say. But see, the thing about it is, you can
like,
say.
I don't wanna say it because that's fucked
up. No, in the realm of comedy, you are correct. In the realm of comedy, you can say hurtful things, but it's the way that you frame it. You don't frame it in a way where you are trying to hurt the person that you're putting the microscope on.
I mean,
that's the whole. No, that's the whole premise of it. Comedy is derived from finding a way to make light of a negative situation. You are not trying to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
You might say something hurtful, but you're not trying to hurt anyone.
Unless I am.
There, at certain points, you have to be honest 100%. That is part of the textural or what the sentient fabric of reality. There are certain things that will hurt people. You can't stop certain people from being offended by things.
Comedy is not absent of intent. So
right, but you are not actively trying to hurt someone's feelings. They might be hurt by it, but that is not your intent. Your intent is to make light of this hurtful situation, to bring attention to it in a way where positive change can be derived.
But I think that's more a role for a comedian. I still think
that is where comedy is derived. It's part of drama.
It's part of drama. Cut a motherfucker's throat.
It's the opposite side of drama. Drama is where
it's two things. One is wherever it lands. Like wherever the joke lands, whatever it takes to get this shit to land. Like sometimes the joke just lands, or sometimes it's a reach for the joke.
But see, that's where the intent comes. It's like the intent driving the joke. If you are being hurtful driving this joke to try to make it funny, but you know there is a negative connotation behind this joke. You know there's gonna be a laugh in the room, but it's in a hurtful way. That's not comedy.
No, I give you a perfect example. Perfect example is, you might remember Ocean is there. It was a battle rapper who was going to get this.
I know.
Johnny Bravo about a bitch.
That's comedy.
And that shit was
that
funny.
But it see,
was,
that's hip hop.
You don't think she was hurt?
Okay. I'll wait.
What I'm saying is that shit was funny until it.
That's where comedy and hip hop over.
Until it wasn't. That was a certain point where you just felt like.
That's where hip hop overtook. But see, hip hop and comedy are not.
Like, you laying it on thick. Like, because that's.
Hip hop and comedy are not the same thing. And that's all I'm going to say. Hip hop and comedy are not the same thing. That's all.
They get the same passes.
Because in execution they can be perceived.
But that was my point, though. I think that is the comedian versus comedy.
The performer.
I think comedy is subjective
versus the entertainer.
Yeah, I think comedy can be used.
A court jester is not the court rapper. Bro.
I've used comedy like being a class clown type of thing. I've used comedy in a way to eviscerate a motherfucker.
As now, opposed to being the motherfucker who's on the morning announcements at school that happens to tell good jokes every now and then because he happened to be there and he saw some shit yesterday.
I'll say this. Comedy is subjective. A comedian is objective.
No, that's based on.
No, I mean,
that's based on your role.
But no, that's what I took from what he was saying.
I think that comedians should be objective.
The art of comedy.
You're right.
The art of comedy is subjective. But there are some jokes that I just. It's funny as fuck to somebody, but to me, I'm like, I don't get it.
Because they're right-wing comedians. They have an audience that is funny to them.
Right.
Like a Steven Crowder.
Certain stuff click, but the idea of what makes a comedian good, there is a...
And that is the...
Hold on. There is a technicality, and there is an actual... There is actual, like, magic there.
That open net of artistic creativity.
There's a structure to how this shit is done efficiently and effectively.
Yeah, that's the net of Bravo creative, body artistic...
That's the part of it that is objective.
Yeah.
Like, either you know what the fuck you're doing, or you in this space, or you don't.
I agree.
If you ain't that self-conscious, then...
Yeah.
You know,
which is where...
That's what I'm saying.
That's what got so many people mad at Dave Chappelle. They were like, oh no, he's actively trying to jump out of this realm and, you know, pinpoint these people and hurt these people. He's like, no, he's not. It just so happened to be that at the time, the social climate was so hyper focused on these certain things that were very hyper analyzed in the comedic realm.
And the idea to anchor all of this back to Atlanta, what is one thing that you think is the disconnect between, you know, someone
it's putting not the on a disconnect, black box. It's the hyperconnectivity of Atlanta that makes the disconnect exist. The fact that Atlanta already spoke to the minority existing in this world, and that was the filter that is what Atlanta was put here for. It's like, yo, if you existed in this, you know, in this marginalized community, you understand what we're talking about. You'll watch this show. And then the others that watch this show, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. But no, you don't. They're just making it palatable to you. It's giving you this false sense of connectivity where, in actuality, it's opening this bridge of communication where you aren't trying to communicate mm-hmm. with them. You are automatically assuming, like, oh, I watched this show too, so I get what you're going through. Blah, 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 blah.
And like, I never associated white people with Atlanta. Like, I didn't even know why people watched Atlanta.
But then you found out after season two, season three, like, oh, they do watch this. They watch this shit heavy. But then you should have known that because Donald Glover was on fucking Community.
I mean, he wasn't on it. He wrote part of it.
I mean, but the Russos wrote every other episode. And then you're like, oh.
And 30 Rock. Like,
yeah, Donald so Glover then you're like, oh, well, now I kind of get it. And then, but see, once again, it's all palatability.
Yeah, but you also got to understand Donald Glover himself as a writer slash actor. He never was urban. He always was.
He's a comedian.
I mean, but they're still, like, if you think about Chris Rock,
he's a comedic entertainer. I won't call him a comedian. It's not that.
What I'm saying is that when you think about Chappelle in his early days, Martin Lawrence in their early days, Chris Rock in their early days, their audience was overwhelmingly black. Donald Glover's audience when he was younger was overwhelmingly white. A lot of
that's based on the time and not the time.
It was the type of comedy he did. He was a comedy central. He was literally on Comedy Central.
More so based on the time, because think about it.
It wasn't the time. It was the type of comedy. I'm telling you, the type of comedy that Donald Glover did. It was the stoner movies type things, and it was the super nerd type of stuff.
He was in the white college atmosphere.
That's what I'm saying. Right. But at the same time that there are comedians around,
came up living in the New York.
But there are comedians
selling
after
pizza,
that.
Trying to fucking.
Kevin Hart came around the same time Donald Glover did.
But that was their bubble.
That's what I'm saying.
They made it palatable in two different ways.
Let me finish. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that Donald Glover's path into stardom and into comedy, it did not go through like Kevin Hart. His first shit was Paper Soldiers. Like, people were bootlegging his shit.
They made it palatable in different ways.
I'm not talking about palatability. What I'm saying is their audiences were different. Their audiences were completely different. People who watched Paper Soldiers and State Property.
Yeah, because the way it was shown
to them were predominantly black people.
I got you.
And different stuff. Mm-hmm. Donald Glover's comedy... 30 Rock. Right. 30 Rock is not...
Before that, it was Community, but that was predominantly white college type.
And even before that, he had the movie...
That was his comedic delivery, though.
He was an AV nerd.
Yeah, but that was his comedic, you know, timing and delivery and...
Yeah, but you know, what I'm saying is, like, when you go through that channel, like, Kevin Hart wasn't doing Comedy Central.
No, it was all about their availability and the way it was presented to the world as a certain type of comedic medium. And I'm not arguing in that.
I'm gonna sum it up. From my perspective, I feel in many ways people have tried to gatekeep Donald Glover's blackness. They've tried to gatekeep.
You're right. And in the larger part of his earliest career,
his blackness was gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. Like gatekeeped. Like based on kept. Like gatekept. Like he was a black guy making music, just making, you know, whatever kind of music he want.
Doing comedic stuff, and then they found out he could sing.
I'm talking about my introduction to him. Okay. I ain't never watched Community. I don't I don't know none of that shit. What I'm saying is my introduction to Donald Glover was music. It was me hearing like just seeing his name just pop up online from time to time till like, you know, the music, you know. So I've been checking this shit out since like, I don't know, since
was
he started.
Was it because of the internet or before that one?
It's before then, because he was just like the parts of the internet I was fucking with back then. He was heavy in those spaces, so he was like always around.
Because I mean, I kind of heard of Donald Glover when.
But I knew he was Donald Glover.
Yeah, about high school graduation time, 2000.
Like, I heard of him.
Yeah,
it's like I heard of him, but I was just like, I didn't know what he was famous for. I just knew he was a big deal. Yeah. I didn't know why he was a big deal. But then I stumbled upon his music, and I was like, okay, so he do, you know, Hollywood and he do music.
Yeah.
And then at the time, that's when he was like really on some Lil Wayne type shit with how he made his music, and a lot of those fans gravitated to that, though. You know what I'm saying? Like
Asher Roth fan.
Yeah, like that whole wave.
See, that was kind of like when music wave
until he came back again. Now,
that was still at the time when, like, in that weird ass malleable time of like
from
like 2000 to 2010. No, not even that. From 2000 to 2010, when everybody was.
I'm talking 2010 up. Talking the last 10 years. I ain't talking none before 2010. I'm talking about...
Even still, it's the same thing.
Because by 2012, I knew well who it was.
I was about to say. It was like, in that time... Media was changing. And it was like, okay, well, this is like how media is. If you want to go down this path, if you like this type of person... as a celebrity, and they produce this kind of content, you're gonna go down this path, and that's what it's gonna be. And they changed up the way.
The same shit that Tyler the Creator. The same thing they did to Donald Glover. They did to Tyler the Creator.
But
they
put him in a different box.
They did it to Jaden Smith. They do it to people who like. There's an alternative black, and. It used to not be a positive, encompassing, warm, welcoming theme. Being alternative black was like small communities that was somebody's cousin that was important, so he didn't get touched. But for the most part, you know, I ain't really rock with him, but actually, that nigga cool. That was the typical motto that you got of someone who was an alternate black. And alternate blacks, it's easy to identify alternate black. That's somebody doing theater in high school, doing band theater, AV. If you're doing one of those three or any of them extra clubs, you're probably alternative black.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's an
It
used to feel so inviting and so dominating because.
Just like that post, like, that shit you sent me earlier with the new metal in the metal. That's about right.
Eventually, like. There was a generation like of kids who wanted to be they wanted to model their life after a different world, and there was a certain level of things that they understood and one of the directions they were going in.
Part of that.
But during that same time, this is around 99. This is anybody who had to deal with the cusp with the new year changing.
Because like, you thought that when you got ready to go to college, when you graduated high school, it was gonna be like a different world. And then
you didn't know how
the world changed, and you were like,
you didn't know how black you was till you got to high school,
right? And then you found the circle that you fit in, even within your blackness, and it was like,
my experience is different because
you grew up in a metro area,
everything around,
and you're black, black,
and that's why I was like telling like somebody else, I was like My teachers was black. My friends was black. My neighbors was black. The people that owned the
business. I mean, it was the same for me, but I mean...
Bro, it was a soft degree. It's really...
We only had, like, maybe... I mean, I can count on my hands how many white people I went to school with.
And that's the crazy part.
From kindergarten to high school.
But see, you're from the metro area, so it was way different. And then it was only, like, 2 hours difference, but... We had it all.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's because, like, in Atlanta, y'all would have had somebody like an alternative black person. The most famous alternative black person from Atlanta is Andre 3000. Hell, Big Boy, too.
Yeah.
But the poster boy for the shit, you say Andre. Nah, you
three stacks, yeah.
You alternative black. You was
that nigga on that other shit.
But that other shit.
And that was like, what it was.
But to what you
said that about was probably almost
alternative black. All black.
That's what you were saying. Like, it was like you were saying, the
we're seeing black.
The people that were in there was like AV.
Or super emo.
And
Drama, art.
You know,
fine art shit.
They did other shit. They skipped school or whatever. You know,
right brain, like individual.
Yeah, artistical. Yeah.
Like, that's where you lean.
Super analytical.
And I really think that, like, the class that I was in and behind, like, those might have been, like, maybe the last people that might have persecuted people for being different. Because now it's not an uncommon thing. Mm. Like, now kids are.
Because now they have an understanding of it. Before then, it was like, oh, you being weird. Just stop being weird, my nigga.
And they are also able to find communities a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Like, you know, online stuff. Because
now people understand it. Before,
you know.
That's why cons are so big.
Yeah, because our parents before then and our uncles and aunts and shit, they were like, look, just be who you are. Just stop being weird. Don't say that weird shit all the time. It's like, no, but that's how I feel. That's what I think. And I'm like that. It's like, don't say that. Don't be like that.
Donald Glover was one of those black people. So I think it just comes from the heart of someone who just feels like, you know, your black.
That's also comedy, though.
Question. Like,
but that's comedy.
This ain't Martin.
Being able to be honest.
It was like, bro, this is Martin, bro. This ain't Martin.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
It is. Because one of the jokes that stands out the most to me is when he was very young on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. Donald Glover's mom is white and his dad is black, and he was like, my mom wouldn't allow me to say the N-word in my house, so it had to be vampires.
Right.
Or
say that shit on the sly. And then you found out that Key and Peele did a skit about it after the fact, but they made it where it was like me and my girlfriend because she's white. Like, bitch.
But you when he was on stage saying he was doing a Chris Rock imitation, and he couldn't say nigga because, you know, Chris Rock had a different audience. Eddie Murphy had a different audience, so he was like, I see it on vampires.
Yeah.
And it was funny.
Because you knew what he meant.
But I always saw him in that vein of doing those 30 Rocks, those communities, and those shits won Emmys. Mm-hmm. That motherfucker won an Emmy before he ever started putting his music out.
Mm-hmm.
So he was already established in that regard. So once you already established and getting Emmys, people are naturally going to be inclined to at least check your shit out.
Right.
And if your shit happens to be good, which Redbone, I think, I don't know if it won a Grammy, I know it's at least nominated for it, but
I definitely think it did.
And I think because of the internet was definitely.
If it didn't, it should have, and it's not right, because whatever it went against, if it won, it shouldn't have.
So being top tier in two genres is not uncommon, but and it just shows how talented he is, because I wouldn't want to listen to a Kevin Hart rap album.
Hell no.
I wouldn't want to listen to Chocolate Dropper.
But this man understands his realm. He understands his lane. He knows where he exists.
And now, to like y'all were talking about last week, with you got Kevin Hart and you got The Rock, two of the safest Negroes in Hollywood.
In Hollywood, bro. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Two of the safest motherfuckers in Hollywood.
And everybody's gonna eat it up.
And it's not to diminish or say, you know, these some safe house niggas. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, if you put The Rock in there, more likely than not, you can bring your family to it, unless it's Fast and the Furious. If you bring Kevin Hart into it, you can get some nice, clean comedy.
Correct.
That's not, you know, coonish, even, you know, to me. But you wouldn't want a fucking Kevin Hart Chocolate Dropper rap album. And it just shows how great Gambino is. Slash Donald Glover.
Because he let you know, like, hey, man, I got musical ability. Like, yeah, it was funny at first, but I'm funny, but I'm serious.
Now stay woke.
Yeah.
This is America.
Right. This is America. It's funny, but I'm serious.